Part 1. Cracking. Chapter 1. New York, March 2007. Before he left, he made sure I was set. Here was the property tax bill. Anthony would pay it when he paid the utilities. Here was the water filter system. It needed to be changed in 6 weeks. He'd have called Franco to do it, but the number was on the... You can't go. We were in the laundry room. Its base functionality seemed absurd against the backdrop of my husband going to war. How dare the washing machine be white when this was happening? Fuck you, dryer, for being half an inch higher. The basket of clothespins was a slap in the face, and the steady hush of the water heater was a mockery. Caden looked green in the fluorescent light, and his eyes were flat gray. He looked as if he were dead already.
I knew I could get called.
You were tricked. He smiled ruefully. Even green, he was beautiful. Too brilliant to be conned, too loyal to go back on a promise. He put his hands on my shoulders and slid them down to my biceps.
I'm going to be fine. They're giving me a nice bonus.
Because I care about money. The smile went from rueful to pleased, and I had to admit he'd been more himself in the past day than he'd been since his alter ego had appeared. Did you tell them about Damon?
I took a battery of tests.
They'd never send you if they knew.
As soon as I read that letter, as soon as he read it, he crawled back into the hole he came from.
He's gone?
Are you going to miss him?
He teased. Are you?
If I deploy, he's staying gone.
He gathered my hands in his.
I won't miss the little chicken shit.
He's the cowardly side of you. He got close to my face and put up his finger.
I don't have a cowardly side.
The way he looked at me, I could kind of believe it. He was so strong, so clear, so commanding, even with a part of him stuffed into a dark bag. If I hadn't known better, I would have forgotten to worry about him. I would have overlooked the broken pieces for the sake of seeing the man in front of me. We all have a coward in us.
You don't?
I do. She's scared of heights and spiders, and she's so scared of losing you. He took my chin and pointed it up to face him.
I see that look on your face, Major.
What look, Major? I had to smile at our equal footing.
You are not to walk into the AMED recruiter.
I was going to stay in the military for life anyway. It's easy for me. We can get a dual deployment. They'll station us together.
Maybe. Or they can put us half a world apart.
It's a risk, but I'm willing to take it.
I'm not willing.
He put my hands against his chest.
You're going to run the PTSD unit of Mount Sinai Hospital. You're going to do what you were meant to do with your life. Help people after they get back. All you do on active duty is manage to get a revolving door of soldiers' honorable discharges. They'd come back fucked up with no one to help them because you're on the other side of the wall.
I looked away from him at the way our hands wove together against his chest. You think a lot of me.
The world needs you.
What about you? Do you need me? He unwove our fingers and put his arms around me, squeezing me so tightly it hurt.
I need you,
he said, with his mouth pressed to my scalp, inhaling the scent of my panic.
I need you safe. I need you here. I'm a selfish and greedy man. I need you to stay here and do your work so I can keep it together. You're the only thing in this world saving me from going insane.
What if he comes back?
He won't.
He will.
Well, then they'll send me home in disgrace. Maybe he'll buy a Maserati to make it up to you.
He pulled away enough to meet my gaze.
But if you're deployed, you won't be here to make him sell the Ferrari first.
He smiled with me, brushing a ribbon of hair off my cheek. I'm going to drive it when you're gone.
Drive it now.
He closed the panel door of the water filtration unit.
It's got a lot of kick.
You're almost back to your old self.
I think he needed a shock to the system. He's terrified of going back, and when the letter came, he wanted no part of it. War is his limit.
You were forced to face your worst fear. I saw his sharp glance behind me, to the false safe. The door was closed, but behind it was the bottle room and a darkness that had its own density. He looked back at me, his stare hard and locked, as if he wanted to make sure I was there.
Definitely the worst,
he said, grabbing me and pulling me to him.
I can handle anything now.
He kissed me, and I moved with him as he pressed his growing erection against me. We have about 24 hours. Can we spend 20 of them fucking?
What are we wasting those 4 hours on?
Sleep? He picked me up. I wrapped my legs around his waist.
You'll sleep when you're dead.
We kissed as he carried me, clanking and banging ankles and elbows, kissing between ows and ouches, laughing all the way up the stairs. We wound up rolling on the carpet between the back door and the door to my office, peeling off as much of our clothing as we needed to get his dick inside me. I braced each foot against an opposing wall as he pushed into me until he hit the end, and with another thrust, he found my limit but kept pushing. Yes, it hurt. And yes, he knew it. He did it again, and while he was buried deep, he yanked up my shirt and bra.
I'm going to miss these tits,
he growled, right before getting his mouth under one and sucking the skin, closing his teeth against the flesh in a long, painful bite. I fisted his hair, pulling his mouth against me, begging for the hurt. He bit and sucked, thrusting hard and slow, rotating his hips when he was rooted in me. I love you, I cried when I was close. Caden, I love you. In response, he bit me harder, and I came right into the pain.